flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 131. Man, we are back. Shout out to everybody who listened to our playoff preview last week on our Patreon. But we are back on the free feed for everybody who doesn't pay. And everybody who does pay, we appreciate you. You know to follow me on Twitter, man, at Barbershare Scott. Follow the Barbershare Network on Twitter and Instagram and at Barbershare Net. Of course, I got my host Dante in the building. You can follow him at Octobers on Tate on Twitter. Go to the Patreon right now, patreon.com/barbershare network. Follow that $5 package, $10 package. And we got family in the house today, man. We got the boy Mariano back in with us, man. Yes, talking yes. about some hoops, man. You can follow him on Twitter at Mariano with two N's, two O's. You can follow him. What's going on, G? What's happening?
Chilling, man. I'm here, man. Got a Lagunitas right here. You know what I'm saying? As usual. Okay. You know what I mean? Just out here, man. Happy to be back and all that. You know what I'm saying?
That is awesome, man. Dante, what's going on? And both of y'all in the A, I appreciate y'all because y'all are like, it's almost 1 a.m. out there. I don't know how y'all wait.
I'm sorry, my nigga. Hawks did what I told you they were going to do. They came to the A to get a business.
What you mean told me? Nigga, I picked the Hawks too. That's what you told me. I ain't picked the Knicks, nigga.
Yeah, but no, it was dope. It was dope to see. I feel like they lying about these crowd sizes, my nigga. Like, when they paying into these crowds, I'm seeing way too many people for you to tell me we had 60% capacity. And shit.
Yeah,
like,
nah, ain't no way. It's at least
no way in hell. The Garden was 100% capacity. I don't give a fuck what nobody said.
Yeah.
The Garden was 100%.
Yeah, it's solid in the A right now. I really enjoy this series off the strength that as a transplant, you rarely see like a real like energy coming from the Hawks, like the Hawks fans actually getting into this shit. But like when you listen to Hawks fans talking and like they were like, "Yo, fuck New York!" Like normally they out here, they'll be like, "Yeah, we gonna lose, we gonna blow this shit somehow."
Absolutely, and I know firsthand from like you know, I'm a Bulls fan, and like you said, being a transplant down here, going to the games, they'll be at the game in the stadium sitting there like they're at home on the couch, like it just really don't matter. And they be looking at me like I'm crazy because I'm rooting for my team. You know what I'm saying? And it's like they looking at me and I'm looking at them like, yo, why you should have just stayed home, dog. But the energy is different this time around. I think Trae Young is probably mostly responsible for that because everybody loves him. I see his jersey everywhere. They're wearing the shirts with his name on the back and all that. And they just really going up for him. So it's been dope to see. You know, you don't have to be a Hawks fan to appreciate like seeing fans go up for their team. And, you know what I mean? Like in the playoff atmosphere as well. So.
You know somebody fucks with a player when they wearing jerseys.
With the yeah, exactly.
You
nigga.
Know what I'm saying? That's you know when you got a fan base when niggas got your jerseys.
Exactly.
You know I like that the energy out here in LA, man. Everybody, of course, you know I hate Laker fans and LeBron fans are the worst marriage in the history of sports. But because these niggas don't watch no fucking basketball. I literally got a homegirl. I promise to God, she told me she ain't watched none of the Lakers this year. But she's talking about, we gonna beat the Suns at 5. I'm like, motherfucker, you didn't watch none of the games this year.
Yeah, she listened to Shannon Sharp and she's right. Like, yeah, we got him.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, you know, they just Lakers had their first win at Staples for the first time since 2012, my nigga.
Damn.
May 2012. I had just graduated college. It tells you how long ago that was. Kobe, my man Kobe. He was in that game, but let's just get into it, man. Let's talk about weekly observations of what we've seen from this first week of playoff action, man. One thing that I have, you know, peeped, of course, we're talking about the crowds, but this really feels like the first playoffs in like 2 years. You know what I'm saying? I've been saying the bubble was trash. You know, like I said, it was necessary. I understand why it happened. I get it. If I was Adam Silver, I probably would have did the same thing. But it was trash. It was trash basketball. We're seeing a lot of people, you know, the tagline for this year's playoffs is that's game. It should be hoes watching. That's what should be the tagline. We're seeing a lot of people being exposed. And I have to keep it real. And he's my man, but Jimmy Butler's being exposed right now. I hate to say it, but he's looking like a bubble buddy right now. You know what I'm saying? Like Julius Randle, what are you doing? The lights is bright. You out here playing like, you know, with Times Square. No, what did Damian call this nigga? Sabaro Sambui.
Oh man, oh
Sabaro Sambui. He's playing trash. I mean, the Bucks are actually looking good. You know, we're seeing people who didn't play in a bubble playing well now, or and vice versa. So that's one thing I noticed. And the intensity is picked up. Like the crowds are adding, you know, you're seeing more performances. You're seeing a lot more shit talking. I'm loving that. You know, even when Trae Young, when they lost game two, said, all right, we're going to see y'all niggas in the A. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Reggie Bullock going on Twitter like, oh, we're coming to the A niggas up. Like, I like seeing that type of shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can tell Luka really, really fucking hates the Clippers. Yep. You know, there's a lot of that going on. And one thing that the number one thing I picked was the young niggas, Luka, D-Book, Ja, Trey. These guys, the league is in good hands. You know, when LeBron, you know, and KD and Steph, you know, going to the sunset, these are going to be the new guys. Now, I still don't know who's going to be the megastar. I still don't know. Maybe Luka.
It's Luka.
Maybe Zion. You know, I don't know because – you know, even though Kobe and Shaq were big during that era right after the Bulls 6 championships, we were lacking a megastar for 5 years after Jordan retired. In my mind, Jordan retired in 1998. So fuck the Wizards. When Jordan retired in 98, we like that was even though it was fun to watch the Lakers, I love watching Kobe and Shaq. It was some hard basketball to watch. And then LeBron comes. As much as I can't stand this nigga, LeBron is a megastar. You know what I'm saying? So we've had him be the face of the league for almost 20 years now. So when he leaves, who's going to be the person who's going to step up? But as far as talent-wise, the league is in great hands, man. I've been entertained. Like, even the blowouts, there's been stuff to see. So I've loved this first week of basketball, man. And I really don't know who's going to win it. I mean, every team has flaws. The Lakers, can they stay healthy? You know, even though they're beating the Suns, a lot of these games are closer than they need to be. You know, the Nets, can they play defense long enough? You know, is their size going to back up on them? You know, it's a lot of questions. So I think that's why I've seen it's been really interesting this first week.
Yeah, no, that's real. My main observation is I'm really, really enjoying it, not just because I'm here, but this Atlanta Knicks series. And for two reasons, because the intensity and the energy between the two cities, like I said, has really been cranked up. And also, it's really solidifying the fact that D-Rose is probably going to get paid this offseason. Like, he's about to get a bag. Like, I don't like seeing him have to carry the load offensively, but I think other teams watching this can see that and say, okay, well, if I got other people that can get buckets, D-Rose can still do what D-Rose does, you know, get clutch buckets. His passing has improved significantly. Like, he's passing guys open, passing guys in the shots. And you know they just unfortunately
bring the boy home, AK.
Bro, I miss it. It's only right. It makes perfect sense. But he's gonna get paid this offseason, and so you know that's something that I've also really enjoyed. Also, like we talked about, the Bucks flying under the radar all season. The Bucks, even though like I said, the Heat are trash. The Heat are not who we thought they were. the Heat were like we said, the bubble was what that was just them playing. They were a hot team in the AAU tournament, my nigga. Like, that's just the reality. But the Bucks are a problem, bro. And, like, even though I still think that the Nets are going to take care of Boston, that's not going to be an issue. That series, like I said, Nets in 7, but I'm starting to go toward Tulsa because the Bucks got the pieces to make stops on defense, and they can get buckets, too. So that's going to be that's going to be like a championship-type matchup.
It's going to be a championship-type. My thing about with the Bucks with anybody is, yes, even though you can play defensively, you can make it a long series. But when it comes to scoring points, and that's kind of like the difference in this Knicks-Hawks series, the Knicks are a great defensive team. But offense, a great offense beats a great defense every day. Yeah. It's who's going to go bucket for bucket with KD, Kyrie, and Harden. Yeah, and I don't trust Giannis do that, and you know I don't trust. Like I said, Chris Middleton's a 40-degree day, like they can make it hard on.
he's easily the most swaggerless nigga in the playoffs. Like,
but they also can lock up.
Dante DeVince. I don't have to pronounce the nigga last name.
White Dante. Just say
White Dante. He's out for the playoffs. He's out for the playoffs now.
Yeah. He hurt his foot.
He hurt his foot, and Jeff Green's hurt too. But they expect him to be back in 10 days. But that's going to be a blow for him. Like I said, I don't want to, you know, skip over these series and disrespect Boston and who the fuck they playing? Miami, but let's be real.
Yeah. First things first, free Duncan Robinson. I want to say that. I want to say free Duncan Robinson from the shackles of this Heat team because, you know, and not only just because that's my young Michigan boy, shout out to my Wolverines in the league. he's a big shot taker, big shot maker, bro. Like, they need a three, they down three, whatever. They need some, you know, they put him in the game early to start the offense or whatever, just get a spark. You know, he's usually out there doing that. You know, one of my homies is a huge Heat fan, and every time we watch him, every single time I pull up on him and he watching the Heat, Duncan Robinson is going off. So, free Duncan Robinson, that's first and foremost. Second, the one thing that I've noticed is that I have finally come around to where, you can call me a hater if you want. I'm fine with that. I don't give a fuck. I finally reached the point where I've discounted last year's ring because this is completely different. This is completely different. And I'm going to tell you, I was on the side of basketball is basketball. You got to go play the game. You got to do this, whatever. And that's cool when that's all you got to deal with. But when you got to go out there and play in front of the hoes, like my man Scott say, it's not about the lights being bright. It's not about the it's the hoes, bro. Can you play when the hoes there? If you can't do that, I can't respect it. So when I go, when I watch these games, the intensity is way ramped up. You see Luka looking at the crowd every time he take Pat Beverly from the free throw line to pushing him out of bounds damn near with body and just laying it up like, nah, they can't fuck with me. Like, there's nothing they can do. That's a missing element, and it's a very important element. And it's the most underrated element in basketball. I think we've seen that now because we had to spend a year without the crowd. And I think we took it for granted for our entire life, really, because it's like the crowd is just there. It's just kind of like an afterthought, really, until they interact with a fan or Malice at the Palace happened or something. But I think the pandemic showed us that, yeah, the crowd is very important, bro. If you're talking about dumping popcorn on niggas' head, which I don't, you know, agree with that. We, you know, talk about, touch on that later. But, you know, My biggest observation is that is, you know, as just how important the crowd is. I will say that my favorite series so far is this Clippers Mavericks series, man, because you can tell that, like, Luka is making it a point. Like, no, they can't fuck with me. Right. It's not about I'm the best player in the league or I'm the best. No, they can't fuck with me. This is like Gilly versus Cash Money. This ain't like, you know, like the Clippers and them had real static from before. It's, you know, they kind of had them last year. You know, a lot of people say they had them last year. They had it back against the Rose last year in a bubble. And now it's like, okay, yeah, the crowd is back. Let's get to it. So that's my favorite series to watch. I actually picked the Clippers to win this in seven. I wasn't just trolling when I said that. But that's really it. Fuck last year's ring is, you know, my point.
I mean, yeah, that's a perfect segue to get in this series. I do agree. Of course, you know, I'm not going to not agree with that. Fuck last year's ring. Do it in front of the hoes, Raymond. Do it in front of the hoes, Anthony fucking Davis. Do it in front of the hoes. So I'm with you on that one. But we're going to start it off. Of course, when y'all listen to this, this will be Saturday, May 29th. So we're going to start off with the series that happened today, yesterday. So let's start off with this Clippers Mavs series. I think, first of all, I was wrong. I thought that the Clippers would finally have the mental fortitude to finally get over the fight to just lay the law on the fucking Mavericks. But nigga, I was wrong. Nigga, Luka coming out here like Big Luka. The fact that two of the best players in the NBA are white is not really sitting right with my soul, but it's fine. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with Luka. But like you said, what makes this series great is Luka legit don't fuck with these niggas, G. Yeah. Even Ja Morant tweeted it during the game. Ja Morant was like, Luka really don't like these dudes, LOL. Mm-hmm. And if he know that, like, niggas in the league know that. And on top of this, the Clippers intentionally tanked to play these niggas.
Yeah.
After last year, and these niggas like, okay, bet. So I just think the first two games, even today, they lost game three. And I do think this was probably, you know, maybe I'm giving the Clippers a little bit too much. I think they might have found something at the end of this game. I feel like they used Rondo the way they should have been using this nigga all series. As, you know, helping Kawhi and PG get better shots, giving him more playing time, come out here being that leader. They really didn't show in the first two games. I don't think they played that nigga enough. So they really found that. Paul George showed up. Kawhi had an awesome fucking game.
Yep.
And what you have to do is, I think even though Luka had 40 points, I think that's the best they're going to guard that nigga. Make the rest, like, that's the crazy part. Make the rest of them niggas beat you. Porzingis is a waste of a roster spot.
Bruh.
Waste of a roster spot. And it's going to be hilarious when the Mavericks sign Lauri Markkanen, who is a slightly better nigga than him. Very slightly. And, you know, Jalen Brunson's decent, but all those guys aren't good enough to consistently do this every game. So I think, you know, them find a little formula, something we saw with Rondo, Marcus Morris finally started hitting threes. I think they could have found something. If I think they can find a way to win game four, they can come back and win this series. They have the better talent. Yep. It shouldn't even be like this, honestly. But like I was saying on our Twitter spaces, and by the way, shout out to everybody who's joining us through our first week of NBA pregame Twitter spaces. We'll be back on Monday. I don't think they have enough talent. Like they don't have enough talent to where they can definitely bring the Clippers back into this series, because it's going to be like what we saw today. Luka one on five. And I think the most impressive thing about this win for the Clippers was these niggas was down 30-11 in the first half, in the first quarter. They could have folded. They came back, cut the lead to like two, and they had the lead at halftime. They didn't never really look back, man. So I got to give credit to them. I got to give credit to Ty Lue. And I think they got a chance. They can win game four. I think the series is going to turn around.
Yeah, I think when your role players show up on the road, that's big. Because, you know, like the old saying, you know, role players usually only show up at the crib. Like, they shoot better at the crib. But to get Marcus Morris, that's going to be key. Because, like you said, the dislike is clearly there. So you're going to need Marcus Morris to play that role that he does. But you also need him to hit shots. You need him to hit those threes. That's going to be big. And I think this could really change the tide. I'm still going with Dallas to take the series. Because, like you said, they don't have a single answer for Luka. But this is really just showing, like, if you Mark Cuban, bro, you got to get this man some help. Like, some real help. And I understand Rick Carlisle is a great coach. And, you know, the things he does with his offensive schemes. And, you know, they're always top 10 in offense. And I get that. But KP ain't who you thought you traded for. Like, he's been injury prone. And now that he's back on the court, he's been playing like shit. Yeah. And so, like you said, Laurie's a little bit better, but I think Laurie would be a better use than what we've seen from KP at this point, because he's slew-footed, slow as fuck on defense, can't switch, and you know, you saw like when the Clippers really turned up, they didn't have an answer for that. And so, I think going forward, I still think they can get through this series and beat the Clippers, because I just, like I said, on the Twitter space, I still don't have no trust in the Clippers, even winning tonight. It's just, you never know who the fuck is going to show up.
Yeah.
And so, my own thing is, I still think the Mavericks can win this series, but you got to get Luka some help.
I mean, yeah, the ball's definitely still in Dallas's court. You know what I'm saying? If they go out there and win on Sunday, you know, it's not like the Clippers have a home court advantage. They could definitely close these niggas out in five.
Right, yeah. No, I picked the Clippers to win this in seven after seeing those first two games. And it's really because I figured that the Clippers was the safest money of the entire night. Like in game three, it's absolutely a must-win game. You have to win this game. If not, you're going home for sure. Like whether it's four games or five, you're going home. I think if they come out Sunday and they come play with the energy that they ended the game with, like Sky said, I think that they can take that game, and then now you really got a series. But the one thing I will say about Dallas is that they're the quintessential, like, one piece away. Like, they're Memphis Bleak. They're one hit away. Like, they really truly are. We say this about a lot of teams every single season, but I truly think that if, let's say Dallas had a guy like Jaylen Brown or, you know, like one of these type of guys, you know what I mean?
I got one for you. Nobody thought about this. Even I don't like this nigga, but he can do it. What about Karl-Anthony Towns? Towns with Luka might be nasty.
Yeah. Listen, if they had anybody of that type of notoriety, you know what I'm saying, name-wise, game-wise, like, we talking about a serious contender. We talking about how, like, you know, Jokic took Denver from just like, yeah, they're going to win a couple games to, yeah, they can win it all type of shit. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas beat the Clippers. I'm going to stick with my pick here with the Clippers just because I think that Paul George in his tiny ass hairline, he's good for these type of games, like to go off, you know, and I think he does give a fuck about, he has to care. I know he cares about like basketball, like obviously, yeah. You know, man's professional, but I don't think that they're going to go out like that. So I'm going to stick with my pick here with that. And again, it just remains my favorite series because I clearly can see like, yeah, this is what playoff basketball is about. Like, niggas don't really fuck with each other. Like, I know this for sure.
Right, right. Like, and I think that, you know, what you were saying about, you know, you picking them in seven, right? You said seven.
Mm-hmm.
I said Clippers in five. Obviously, that's not going to happen. I'm going to say Clippers in six, man. I'm stick with
okay.
it.
Okay.
I think they found something tonight. And I just feel like talent. And one thing about the NBA is, you know, the cream always rises to the crop. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like,
especially in the playoffs.
Especially in the playoffs. And I just think they have too much talent.
Yeah.
They just have too much time. Now, if the Clippers win the series, I'm not picking them in the next round. But for this right now, I just think they're going to find a way. I think they found something tonight and the way they decided to use Rondo. So, you know, I just really like this series. Very entertaining. And, you know, everybody likes to roast the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? So even if they lose, it'd be funny on the TL. And like I've been saying all year, I've been saying on this podcast all year, like last year, I'm done betting on them niggas. Like talent-wise, they should be able to go to the NBA Finals. We're just talking about straight off talent. But it's just something off about them niggas, and I just don't know what it is.
Every night they could legit be the favorite against who they play. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, in the 72-game season, 82-game season, no matter what, they should be the favorites. And they just – sometimes they'll go out there and just get smoked by the Sacramento Kings and just be like, you know, it is what it is. So, but I will say this before we, like, move on about this series. Luka, bro, I've been watching basketball my whole life. He still does things that absolutely – amazes me. Like, he put this move
when he do the one leg three fadeaway, nigga, I be laughing.
He put a move. Which twin is Markeith, right? That's
no Marcus is the good
Marcus. Yeah, okay, cool.
The good Morris.
So he put a move on Marcus Morris. Was it game two, bro? He was going to the rack. He had him on his hip, on his left hip, bro. He dipped his shoulder because he knew he was going to jump. And then he went up and laid it with the right. Bro, I watched that play 100 times, dog. Like, that kid is good. Like,
yeah. And
really good.
What Hov said about young Chris, he's only 16.
He's only 16. Yeah,
he's only
facts.
22.
Facts.
He's only 22. Like, this nigga was playing against grown men since he's been like 15, bro.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I like the fact, and people took offense to it a little bit, but when he said last year, he said, nah, it's easy to score in the NBA. Right. Like, he's letting it be known, like, I do what the fuck I want to do out here.
Yeah,
like, you know what I love too? He's talking shit.
Yeah, not bro.
What did Stephen A say? He's cussing them out in Slovenian,
bro. Mm. When the nigga put Pat in the bucket, bro, and then talk shit down the whole
bro,
court,
look, the like, play, God, the, look, look, God. the play that I'm talking about on Morris, he said he can't guard me. Nah, that nah was like, yeah, nah, don't. Stop playing with me.
My favorite picture of the week, I'm actually going to make that the artwork, is after game two, Dirk is in the crowd like, my nigga.
Yeah.
He's like looking back at it. That was like a dope, passing of the torch type thing right there.
Yeah.
But I love it, man. I'm entertained by this series. Before we go to the Knicks-Hawks series, I want to just briefly talk about Nets-Celtics, which is like, the thing about game three is this. First of all, like I told Dante when we did our preview pod, I think you picked Nets in a sweep. I said the Nets are going to have one game they're going to trick off. They're going to get a monster performance from Jason Tatum at home, and they're going to win. And what happened? Jason Tatum had 50 points. He was real, real, real big, real grown man bars tonight in TD Garden.
Something you got to deal with.
Something you got to deal with. Two things that are not going to happen the rest of the series. And that's motherfucking Tristan Thompson going 19 for 13. And that's motherfucking Marcus Smart having 23 points per game and Fournier having 18. That's not happening, bro.
Fournier not getting 18, nothing the rest of the game. Like, serious. Right. He might get 18 minutes the whole rest of the way combined.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, Harden had a great game. Harden had like 42. KD had like 39. Kyrie didn't show up. Him and his freedom fighter fro he got on right now. Kyrie definitely like an extra off Judas and the Black Messiah. Like, he came to the game dressed like a Green Beret today. I'm like,
nah, he could have either been in the Isleys or Public Enemy. Like, right. The duality of man is crazy. Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's just I hate series that prolong for no reason. It's just like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, let's just wrap this shit up. Like, we know y'all probably gonna lose Sunday and get washed up in Brooklyn.
I will say this: I wish that Tatum would have chose to do this game two when my money was on the line. I had a parlay out there.
Yeah, you had a parlay.
And I picked the Celtics +9.5, which to anybody who doesn't bet, I didn't pick them to win the game. I picked them to lose by less than 10 points, and they got smoked from the gate. They was getting smoked the whole game. I think the closest the game got was like 14 points, 13 points or something like that.
They won by like 30-something?
They won by 25 or some shit like that. Like, I think it was 25, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I just wish they would have did that in game two. That's all. But, yeah. I'm still picking the Nets, by the way. And
I just want the Nets to stay healthy.
I don't want to be disrespectful because I do like Jason Tatum a lot. He was just on $1 million worth of game. He's cool. The ruffles that he's on the front of is fire. I'ma still say Nets in like five. Like, fuck it. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, Nets are fire. I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah, fuck 100%. It, man.
Anytime you got a player to go for 50 and you win by 6, my nigga. things aren't boding well for you, my nigga. So I agree. Like, it's unfortunate that Jaylen Brown isn't in this series because Jaylen Brown he's had a hell of a year. Like he was
a dog.
But if Julius Randle, you know, hadn't had the year he had, I think Jaylen Brown really would have won most improved player.
Easily.
I'm gonna tell you why Jaylen Brown disappointed me today. Jaylen Brown for Mr. You know, he was marching last year with the movement, the Black Lives Matter shirt, all that other shit. And then he go on stage today on press conference. Yeah, I know we need to go against systematic racism in this country, but it's the playoffs, and I don't really see this as a stage for that, nigga. Huh? What are we doing here? Marcus Smart said the Boston fans are racist. Tristan Thompson said the Boston fans are racist. And you come out here with this, well, I don't really know, but you was the main nigga out here acting like you Malcolm X last year.
Bro, that Bill, Max deal.
He disappointed me.
Yeah. I think I want that Max deal.
He getting the Max regardless.
Bro, if Bill Russell couldn't get them practice,
that's what I'm saying.
Bill Russell said he loved the Celtics, but fuck Boston.
Yep.
And he married white women. So it's like...
I'm glad you pointed that out.
He don't have an issue with white people, so don't.
My
don't
nigga.
My nigga.
I'm glad you said that.
Don't make it seem like we're not trying to make it seem like Bill just hate white people. Like, no, it's the people in Boston. Like, yeah. It's the issue in that town that everybody brings up, everybody talks about.
Yeah, and people in Boston, they never say, the thing I like about it is like, they never say, like, it's not racist. They're like, man, it's not that racist. It's just kind of, you know. It's mild, you know. It's not that racist. We're not saying
just,
this.
Just like, a smidge of racism.
I knew Boston niggas were different because when I read, even though he does dumb shit, but like Bill Simmons, The Book of Basketball, that's a really good book.
Yes.
And like he talks about his dad has season tickets to the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And he said he called Manute Bol purple. And like he said it so just relaxed, just in a regular conversation. And I'm just like, wait.
Yeah.
What you wrote this nigga and like was cool with it, but that's bro. That's Boston for you, bro. That's, like they look at it completely different.
Hey man, at least stay in Utah.
Speaking of Bill Simmons, I want to give a shout out to my man Big Wise, aka the Big Metropolitan. For his call up
the
to
big
majors,
teachable moment, man. Big Wise.
Now I've kicked it with this nigga two of the last three weekends. And I've told this nigga in person, you know, congratulations. But I just want to give this nigga a shout
out.
You know,
shout out to Wise.
Saw that nigga last weekend at the Batcave, aka Pat Vito's crib. Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure I pronounce your name right every time, my nigga.
Oh yeah, what? Shout out, bro. Yeah. We you know we were drunk. We were telling the same story like 10 times. Me and
that's my nigga, man. I
was like,
nigga,
these are my sons, B. I love
you. I sent
Chicago
that nigga. I sent that nigga Wise the clip like the night that Drake was I guess like getting the, you know, artist of the decade shit or whatever. He put out a clip, you know, it's him and like LeBron narrating and shit. And I text that nigga that shit because, you know, for those that don't know, we the Owl Boys.
Y'all the Owl Boys. Y'all definitely Drake Avengers.
Hashtag Owl Boys. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We in the building, gang. And I sent them that clip. I said, dog, this shit made me almost shed a tear. You know, the nigga text me back. Nigga said, wow. And we watched it. Like, we had a moment, bro.
I want to give a shout out to Drake for having a party at the Rams Stadium. Even though he wasn't the first nigga to do it. I gotta give props to Issa Rae.
Shout out to Issa.
Issa Rae was the first one to have a party at SoFi Stadium, but I gotta give a shout out to Greg. But as we go to our next series, I actually want to like combine the Nets and the Knicks real quick because it's something that Stephen A. be saying and something that Knicks fans have been saying that's been rubbing me the wrong way. Now, here's a problem I have. They're like, oh, you gotta know that KD and Kyrie are jealous that they come to Knicks. Nigga, why? Like, explain to me why KD and Kyrie will be regretting not coming to the Knicks. They're playing funk-ass Madison Square Garden? That's what I... Nigga, who gives a shit? Like, honestly. Like, this is why I just don't think they care, bro. Like, I guess the fans is great, but there's if they don't win a championship, it's going to be a nice light on the Knicks. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Man.
No, it's not. No. Knicks can lose in the East Conference Finals. Niggas ain't going to give a shit about the Knicks.
Yeah.
It's not.
I would say, G, if it was any two other niggas, I would feel whoever said that. But KD and Kyrie are just different, bro.
Different niggas.
They're not really approaching this in the same mindset that most hoopers are approaching this shit. So, like, if it was anybody else and they, you know, made the choice to go to Brooklyn and then they see everything that's happening in the Garden, they might be like, damn, we fucked up. But, like, them niggas, they don't care. They don't care.
You know what? I think that's the most important thing here is that they – listen – two things can be true. The stigma around the Knicks and like the Madison Square Garden and like how people want to play there and shit like that. Yes, that's true. But with KD and Kyrie specifically, like Dante just pointed out, they probably did that on purpose because it's like, bro, fuck all that. We trying to create this over here. We trying to rebel against that shit. Like, these are two dudes who want to go against, they want to raise against the machine 100%. Like, they absolutely, they see what you're doing over there. I'm going to make it over here and I'm going to get a chip over here. I'm going to try my shit over here. Fuck all that. I don't need that. I don't need to buy into that. I get it. Because, like, the Knicks, you know, even on the front page of the Post or, you know, whatever newspaper everybody fuck with, they put the Knicks up there. You know, the Knicks win one game. You know, the Nets win a game. It's like, nah, it don't even matter. Even when the Knicks lose, they're putting the Knicks up there like they – you wouldn't even know. If you didn't watch the game, you would have thought the Knicks won and the Nets got smoked by 50 points. It's just the way the media is. You know, it's just how it goes in New York. Yeah. The Knicks is always going to be – number one, like, check your own video, you always be number two. That type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like it don't matter what you do. But winning cures everything. Winning solves, you know, it fixes bad relationships, everything. It quiets drama in the locker room. Winning fixes everything. So as long as the Nets keep winning, like, no, they don't give a fuck, bro. They really don't.
Exactly. And niggas got – there's going to be some niggas that – if they win a championship, there's going to be niggas at that parade. Like, let's stop the cap. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Niggas that, you not finna just miss out on the parade just because you – like, the
listen,
fuck
after enough shots of Ducey, they're going to go out there and be like, I mean, it's still New York. No, look, fuck it. They're going to talk themselves into it.
Y'all know I can't stand LeBron. Let these niggas repeat. Where am I going to be? On Figueroa, drunk, at that Laker parade? I don't give a fuck.
It is what it is, bro.
I don't give a fuck. But this is what I would say to go into this series, man. Now, as a Bears fan, I understand celebrating mediocre shit. When we win 8 games, we're the toast of the town. With that being said, the celebration after game 2 was excessive. I'm sorry. It was excessive. You got niggas in the streets. You thought these niggas would have won the NBA fucking finals. Y'all won game two of a fucking
nigga. Did you see how they acted when they clinched the playoff spot? Fuck nigga. Winning the game. They went crazy when they clinched the spot.
Motherfuckers outside the window of the MSG studios. I'm like, nigga, chill. Y'all lost home court advantage. What do you celebrate? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like Knicks fans. Chill, and I try to give him a little credit. This Dante had me down. I can try to give him a little credit about how great fans are. This looks like, man, fuck the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't, it's a lot of it's that's one of them teams. I just, even with D Rose on the team, yeah,
I just don't like them niggas, bro.
Like,
you know why though? You know why I think we don't like the Knicks? Like truthfully. It's not because of nothing that happened in the 90s. It's not because whatever
all
shit.
The time.
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is, because this is the reason why it still hurt me to this day. And I want to see the Knicks lose. It's the fucking Carmelo Anthony shot over Luol Deng.
Nick,
for
I
the fucking
that
game, dog. To this day, like, bro, I love Melo to death. But, dog, like, please don't ever mention that game to me. Ever.
That
like,
game ruined my Easter, nigga. I had to take a walk.
That's what I'm saying, my nigga. I'm telling you. For me personally, I'm going to just speak for me. It's the reason why I still root against the Knicks to this day. Like, to this day is that shot. I can see Melo hitting that shot, doing the three, and I'm just like, oh, all right.
And we got my man Doug and Arthur from King Queen sitting sideline next to Ben Silla. That shit
everything was bad. It was all bad.
It ruined my Easter. My granny was wondering why I wasn't talking to the dinner table. I'm like, we just lost. And the Knicks fans treat that like it was a playoff game.
So
that's probably
the
other thing.
Fuck
the
Knicks. Yeah.
I want to echo those
sentiments. Fuck the
Knicks. I want games like we had tonight. Derrick Rose had 30 points and they lost by double digits. That's what I want to see. And I had an argument with my Knicks friend, homie. And he was like, yeah, you know, people going to want to come to the Knicks. I was like, I'm going to keep real with you. If I'm a free agent, and I know I'm going to sound biased because I'm a Bulls fan, I'd rather play with niggas who can score, like Zach LaVine and Vucevic.
Yes.
And rather than these hard-working ass niggas. And if you want to be rest, I understand the Garden is loud and all that, but I think niggas really underestimate how loud it gets in United Center during playoffs. Nigga, I was at game 6 of that 09 semifinal series against the Celtics, nigga. When I left that game, I swear to God, I felt like I hooped. Like, it was loud up in there. And we haven't had playoff basketball in a long time. And I do think we'll get there next year. It's gonna be fucking stupid up in there, man.
Yep, I do too.
And I think people are gonna want to come in.
A healthy Zach and them getting that chemistry and bonding together in this offseason and all that. Not to go off on the Bulls tangent and that, but I agree with what you're saying. Like, that's I'm with you on that.
But let's get into the series, man. Tonight, the Hawks took a 2-1 series lead, man, in Atlanta. It was a great crowd at the out there, you know what I'm saying? Knicks fans like, it's gonna be MSG South. There was a lot of Hawks fans in there. A lot of Hawks fans in there. You can tell it sound real loud up in there, man. Trae Young had a great game. Trae Young had 21 points, 14 assists. Bogdanovich had 15-8. And the others chopped in. DeAndre Hunter, 11 points, 5 rebounds. Clint Capella, 13-12. John Collins had 14-16. Gallinari, 12 off the bench. Herder, 12-10 off the bench. Lou Will, 9. Like, they had a real complete game. And one thing I'll give credit, I love their defense today. The Hawks really play great defense. They have, you know, we always talk about how, you know, how Julius Randle was struggling. Let's give some credit to this Hawks defense. They're taking advantage of this nigga's weakness, you know, knowing he's not that good from the right side. You know what I'm saying? They're taking full advantage of that. And what me and Dante, we were telling y'all niggas all fucking season, like week after week, this is how tip seasons go. You're a great defensive team. You have a great regular season. You have some of these players, the little engines that could, making contributions. But when it comes to the playoffs, you need offense, bro. Like, I swear to God, these three games felt like I watched every game in the D-Rose Tibbs era. D-Rose killing, and he ain't getting no help. I swear it's the same fucking shit.
Then they're going to bench having flashbacks right now.
Yeah,
nah, flashbacks. Ass though, bro.
When he wipes his face with the towel, like, fuck.
Bro, listen, a 10-point lead is over. You might as well call the game right then and there. Yeah. Like, it's over with.
Yeah, like RJ. We're not getting nothing from RJ Barrett. Julius Randle is, you know, one thing, if you're a Knicks fan, you need to be happy that you ain't got to pay that nigga now, because I'm damn sure not paying that motherfucker. Like, you know, like some of these other guys, like, you know, Noel's cool, like Alec Burks is cool, but it's like none of these guys, like long term, if you look at the Knicks, long term, they're not in the greatest position as Knicks fans want you to think they are.
Yeah.
Long term, they still don't have that guy. And we're seeing that problem in this series. You can play the best defense, but Trae Young has been fucking these niggas up for three games. They honestly should be up 3-0. Because if you look in game two, it's not like the Knicks just locked up. The Hawks are missing wide-ass open shots.
Yep.
Bogdanovich was missing threes that he made tonight. And it's just not going to happen again.
And they actually had a lead on them. Like, they had a crazy lead on them in game two that I was surprised that they relinquished, because the Knicks missed a lot of good looks, you know, too, in that game early. And I was like, yeah, this just looks like a game that the Hawks are going to probably win, because not only with the lead, it's just the Knicks aren't taking advantage of good opportunities that they had. And it's like, yeah, go in there and just completely snatch the heart out of them. You already got one game, you know, take the second when you come back down here, which – the culture has shifted, and I can absolutely take my hat off to Trae Young. I want to salute him, because I've been down in Atlanta for 9 years now, so I'm close to a decade down here. And anytime you go to Atlanta sports, you know, outings, the other team, you know, the visiting team always has, like, the home field or the home court advantage for the most part. But in this playoffs, you're seeing that it's different. I'm seeing people that's in the city right now hit me up and saying, yeah, I'm going to the Hawks game, and they're in Hawks gear. You know what I mean? Like, they really going out there showing up and supporting the team. And it's really because of Trae Young. You know what I mean? Shout out to John Collins. That's my little bro. You know what I'm saying? I like his game. I like this Hawks team. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not mad at this Hawks team. It's a good team to watch. They're easy to root for. You know, none of the players on the team come off as, like, assholes. So it's not like, you know, oh, yeah, I want to see the Knicks. And fuck the Knicks, too. So, I mean, it's like, it's, you know, what else do we need to say? You know, like,
you know, definitely. And I'm glad you mentioned the defense, because I mean, they say, you know, tonight Julius Randle was 2 of 15. He was double teamed on 8 of those 15.
Yeah.
So, like, John Collins and Capella, right? The athleticism, that, you know, the versatility that they got, and they have the ability to switch. And then when you are guarding by yourself, all right, I'm gonna drop down, I'm gonna help you. And they did that a lot. And so Julius Randle has played poorly, but a lot of it is because of the defense. It's not just because he's just been playing like shit.
Yep.
They've been playing really good defense on, bro.
Locked down, man.
He really has, G.
And you bring a good point. Two things I wanted to say about what you were saying, Mariano. One, yeah, the Hawks team on paper, like, they were supposed to be good all season. Remember when the preseason projections came out? We expected them to be a top 4 or 5 season. They were hurt a great majority of this year.
Absolutely.
And this is why I'm happy for Trae Young. This is why I'm happy for Trae Young, because I feel like, because Luka is so great, I feel like we don't give Trae the credit he deserves. Trae took this team from a team that was lottery bound last year to a top 5 seed. And honestly, they finished with the same record as the Knicks. The Knicks just had the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So, you know, for him to do that, you know, leading this team, and you've got, you know, and one thing I'll say about Atlanta sports fans, like, You know, I feel like they get a bad rap, but I do feel like Atlanta has sports fans. You just have to give them something to care about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
even with that soccer team, like the Atlanta niggas was happy about soccer.
Bro, listen, that team
in the championship, nigga.
That team came in, that team came in and took over like the number two spot. Always, I've been telling people this for years. If you're down here in Georgia, number one is the Bulldogs, period.
Facts.
Number two now is the Atlanta soccer team, and then everybody else fall in there. So, like, the Hawks, I guess, would be after that. And then however you feel about college, you're going to put Georgia Tech in there somewhere. But from my rankings, number one is Bulldogs, absolutely. Number two is the soccer team, and now it's the Hawks. So if the Falcons come out and, you know, which I damn near couldn't even keep my composure saying this, but, but if they come out and they're good, you know, then, like, they'll move back up. But that's, you know.
That's not going to happen. But no, it's like, I all three of us are transplants, and, like, all of us, you said you've been in Atlanta for 9 years. How many years have you been there, Dante?
Shit, it's like going 10? On. Nigga, way longer than that.
Oh, shit, okay.
It's going on 15.
Oh, okay. Shit, okay.
I'm going on my 8th year in Los Angeles. Like, I feel like, I mean, we all have like a pulse on like the cities we're in. Like in LA, I always say people's like, oh, this is Laker town. Yeah, it is, but I think people really underestimate the Dodger fans out here. Like, honestly, I might say that niggas fuck with the Dodgers maybe a little more than the Lakers. Like, niggas love the Dodgers out here. Yeah.
And you so you go to Chavez Marine and you might die, nigga.
Nigga, exactly. Nigga,
that shit is no joke.
Like, I told Pav was like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to go to this Dodgers game this week. I'm like, nigga, they playing the Giants this weekend. You trying to fight? Yeah, you know there's some fights going on in the parking lot, the Dodgers, the Giants. But, you know what I'm saying, you can get the pulse of different cities, man. But with the series, game four is coming up on Sunday. I'm going to put it like this. If Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett don't wake up, which they haven't done all series, I think that we going back to Madison Square Garden with the Hawks got a 3-1 lead. Like, I honestly feel like this is finna get dirty. And Dante, you said this too, like in our season preview. What were the Knicks gonna do? How they gonna respond to these runs without that Madison Square Garden crowd behind them? And they had no answer for it. So every time they got close, another Bogdanovich three, alley-oop to Clint Capella. Like, I don't know how they're going to respond to it. Like, they're gonna really need Julius Randle to go out there and give you 30. They're going to need R.J. Barrett to give you damn near 20. They're going to need D-Rose to keep doing what he's doing. And even all that, it still might not be enough.
Yeah. I mean, they look legit shook, man.
Yeah.
Like, D-Rose was the only one who was really, like, ready for the moment. Like, yeah, I've been him before. But which is true because he has. But one thing I will say, I hope they do go back to New York 3-1. Because if they go back to New York 3-1, we're going to get our typical visiting team historic performance.
It's going to be a fight.
Trey is gonna put a 50 piece on their ass. Mm-hmm. Reggie Bullock been on his goofy Jay Crowder shit, you know, trying to, you know, be the intimidator and all that. He's gonna cook that nigga. If they go back to the Garden 3-1, it's gonna get ugly for the Knicks in game five.
I don't know why the Knicks fans haven't learned yet, but whenever you antagonize a player that's great or up and coming, you know, rising star in the league, it doesn't usually go well for you. This series, I think, was over with in my mind when they started chanting fuck Trae Young in the first game, because it had it written all over their face like, oh, yeah, he probably going to kill y'all down the stretch in this game, huh? Like, that's what's going to happen, right? And when he did it, it was like, yeah, this is what y'all get. Y'all deserve that. You know what I'm saying? So my pick is going to be, I'm going to say Hawks in six, only because if they do go up, which I think they will go up 3-1, there's going to be an actual fight, like a scuffle in Madison Square Garden the following game. The Knicks will find a way to win that game. I think we'll get like a all-time R.J. Barrett game, you know what I'm saying? And then the Hawks will probably close them out, you know, in six. So that would be my pick. I think that's like the safest money is to say the Hawks. The Hawks are going to win a series, I think, no matter what. But
what's the all-time R.J. Barrett game, 15 points?
Nah, it's gonna be like I'll fuck with RJ Barrett crazy, man. I think we're gonna get one of those games where it's like you look back at this game next season and like all his highlights gonna come from like this game. It's gonna be like, oh shit, like he was killing all season. It's like, nah, that was from that playoff game that one time. Like, remember the game when he had this? He probably gonna get him something crazy. Like, I fuck with RJ. I'm legit like a fan of that dude. Like, I like him a lot. So I think that we'll get a great game out of him. Obviously, Rose is going to be Rose. Like, he's a battle-tested vet. All of the cliches you want to throw out there, he's going to be good for them. I don't think he's going to let them go out like that in five, but six, yeah, I think the Six games is where I'm gonna draw the line at. I'm gonna say Hawks in six.
You made a good point about RJ Barrett, because I think we now, when it comes to the draft, you have, like, you know, your LaMelo Balls, your Anthony Edwards, your superstar players, but you also gonna have those one and dones where we're gonna need a couple of years to really see what's up with them. You know what I'm saying?
And you think RJ's in that class?
Yeah, I think any nigga that goes to Duke is in that class, because Duke is the system
outside
where you're playing Coach K's system. You're not playing outside of Zion.
Bro, this nigga.
Yeah, Zion's just different.
Bro, Zion's just a freak.
He's just different. But even Jason Tatum didn't show you that.
Yeah, Tatum.
Zion is somewhere right now putting motor oil on a pole boy. That nigga different. That nigga built way different. Shout out to Zion, dog.
And Griff, put a team around that nigga. I need to see Zion and all.
Please. Yeah,
Griff looking funny in the light, dog.
Yeah, he is.
Giving him all that praise in Cleveland.
Yeah, he looking funny.
Damn, he made the right move.
Yeah, he put a team around Zion, bro. Let's start with the first game today. Was, like I said, we hit this, it'll be Saturday. First game today would be game four of the Bucks in the Heat, man. I know Dante, he's getting his he's licking his chops right now, and where everything you predicted is coming to fruition. So I'm just gonna start off with you. Do they sweep today? Or Miami live to see another day?
No, it's done. You could, like, get ready, Tyler Hero. call your boy Jack Harlow, nigga. It's time to fix his jumper, because your summer starting after this game, my nigga. Sunday morning, is this a wrap? This shit is over.
Okay.
Yeah, hell no, they're not coming back.
Free Duncan Robinson again. I would just continue to say that. Look, Tyler Hero, man, listen, you got a bad bitch, bro. You know what I mean? No disrespect. I don't know how you feel about niggas calling, you know, saying bad, but I'm saying bad bitch though, not just bitch, you know. So I'm starting with love. I'm leading with love because that's your ass, my boy. Like, you know, I'm trying to say good things about y'all. Bam. Listen, cut that fucking microphone shit off your head. You know what I mean? Do something with it. I like your game and all that, but come on. Jimmy, look, man, Jimmy gonna always be good in my book for what he did with the Bulls. I like him, you know. But it's over with, man. It's not, you know, they smell blood. They owe you. This is get back. You know what I'm saying? This is get back. Y'all did them dirty last year. And I won't lie. After the first game, I was optimistic because Miami kept that game close with Bam and Jimmy not playing necessarily well.
Yeah.
You can actually make the case that they played just flat out bad, right?
No, they were shitty.
They were bad. And the fact that the game was close, I was optimistic that we were going to get another good series. You know, I didn't foresee like some domination on one side or the other, but at this point it's over with. Like, it's, you know, it's not really to say this shit is done, man.
Yeah, I'm with y'all on that. Like I said, I did pick Miami on our preview. Not Miami. I did pick the Bucks in our preview. I said Bucks in six. And I'm with you. After the first game, you know, went to overtime. Jimmy had a bucket that sends to overtime. You know, he had a terrible fucking game. Bam had a terrible fucking game. But after game two, they just been kicking these niggas' ass. Like, mm-hmm. He hasn't even been remotely close. And one thing that, like, irritates me about Jimmy, if we take away the bubble, and he did the shit when he was with the Bulls, and he did the shit when he was with Minnesota. Like, he has games where he has great games in the playoffs, but when shit is on the line, he likes to be very passive. Like, I feel like he tries to get everybody else involved to the point, and he don't even shoot a lot. You know, it's not like he's out there just missing shots. The nigga just don't shoot. Like, if y'all remember the series 4 years ago against Boston, and we were up 2-0, and then Rondo broke his wrist and he was out for the rest of the series. This nigga Jimmy didn't do shit the rest of that damn series. Like, it's not like he put the team on his back, and he didn't do shit. We lost four in a row. Like, and that's what really, like, irritated me about that. He did the same shit with Minnesota the next year when they played Houston. So that's always been a problem I have with it. And like you said, Mariano, this is get back. They embarrassed some niggas last year. You know, they had them, had Giannis looking real funny in the light. And there's one thing that I will say about Milwaukee. Jrue Holiday, man, I owe you an apology, bro. Jrue Holiday to me has changed the identity of that team. Like, they're locking up, and they're using Giannis the way he should be used in the Shaq role, like how they did in the 3-peat Lakers. Like, Shaq dominated majority of the game, and then in the game, Kobe takes off. Now, the problem is, I don't have faith in Chris Middleton to go out there and do that shit every night, but the way that they're doing it, I like the formula. Now, I will say this. I'm gonna go down with the ship. I do think Miami will win game four. I think they'll find a way to win. It'll be a slim game, But they go back to Milwaukee. Also, there's restrictions off my Milwaukee. It's going to be a packed crowd. And then on Tuesday, this game five, them niggas, this is a wrap. It's a wrap. But yeah. I do think that they will survive to see another day in a very, very close game four.
You're a good nigga, man. I'm going to say that.
I'm just going down because nah, you know, Jimmy's my boy. But
yeah, no, facts. You definitely a good nigga,
this
man.
This is more heart than head. And Bam, and, I don't know what Bam's been at either.
Yeah, and again, like Chris Middleton is – He's probably the most swaggerless nigga in the league. Like he hoop like he wearing a button up with the big cups on it and all that with the links and everything. But he can hoop. He really can hoop.
He hoop like how Jay-Z dressed in the change clothes with him.
Absolutely, like 100,000%. And really, furthermore, he hoop like niggas who was trying to dress like Jay-Z. Like that's who he really hoop like.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so. Yeah, you a good nigga, man. I'm gonna just say that.
let's go to the other East series. This is gonna be very, very short. I really don't have nothing to say about this series. Sixers, Wizards, game three is today. Boy. I mean, look, let's just old, man. Let's just stop wasting our time. This is an NBA TV series. This series, yeah. These niggas are getting swept. Okay. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This team is making Ben Simmons look like an offensive threat. And let's just wrap it up, bro. Like, let's.
I feel bad. I want to say this. I feel bad for Brody because he just keeps running into bad break after bad break. You get with Houston, you run into, you know, these juggernauts out west. You know, you run into the Lakers while they on their run, the bullshit bubble and all that. Cool. Now you get with the Wizards, you run into the Sixers, bro. Like, it's, you know, and I shout out to Brody. I love him. He cemented himself as first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't give a fuck if he don't never win a championship, dog. When I was growing up, I thought my pops was lying when a nigga said a nigga averaged a triple-double. Brody doing this shit in front of our face and niggas acting like it's just, it ain't nothing. So, shout out to him. I feel bad for Bradley Beal because I feel like one day he's going to have to betray these fans. And I say betray because that's how they're going to take it. He's going to have to lead that team, bro. If he wants to play basketball deep into the middle of the summer, he's going to have to lead that team, bro. It's just not – there's no two ways about it. This is a sweep. That's it.
Nothing to say about this. Dante, you got any words about this?
Nope.
Next. Next. yeah, let's just go to the next series, man. Let's start off with the third game on Saturday today. Nuggets Blazers game three. Like I said on the playoff preview, I don't give a shit about the series. Dame, run away from the grind for the love of God, please run. Run away from the grind, dog. Like CJ out there, I don't know what this nigga doing. Nurkic out here getting whole. Like, you know, Dame has had great games all this series, and it just ain't fucking matter. Like,
yeah,
the man is averaging 37-9,
and it don't matter.
It's a better's worst nightmare this series is because and I've yet to the only game I bet on in that, Boston fucked that ticket up. Thanks, Boston. But I took the Nuggets -2 and I took the over at like 226 or 224 or whatever, and both of those hit. The reason why I call it a better's nightmare is because every line doesn't make sense. If they have the Blazers favored by 4 points. Like they had the Blazers favorite, you know, in game three. They had the Blazers favorite in game three, you know, and they lose that game. So it's like you just don't know which way it's gonna go because I can 100% see Portland coming out winning the next game for sure. I just don't know. It's not, you know, this is like the most coin flip series I think of the entire playoff so far.
You think it's that close?
No, because of the way that it's going, like it's just a weird series. Like Dame might come out and if you look at it, Portland shouldn't have won a game. Period.
They should not have won a game. They got them a little vintage game from Melo, which is just right. Not gonna happen again.
So it's like, I mean, shit. I don't know, bro. It's weird. It's playoff, but it's weird. I don't know.
It's weird, but it's just like. I just don't think they have enough.
I'm gonna still take the Nuggets, and if I had to put a number on it, I'm gonna completely backtrack on the shit I just said. I'm gonna take the Nuggets in five. Jokic is too good. The Nuggets are too good. They should win in five. Let me say that. They should win in five. If they don't win in five, I don't know what to say.
I think Nuggets take care of business in six. Because like you said, with the Blazers, you know what Dame is going to give you. But if you do get one of those games where CJ gives you 23, Melo gives you a dub, Nurkic shows the fuck up and gives you anything. But then I can see them definitely see them winning another game in this series. But I think overall, I think Denver is finally starting to, you know, find a rhythm with the players they do have. You know, we talked about the loss of Jamal Murray and how that was going to really affect them in this playoffs. But you know, Michael Porter's played well. I still, even though we got Vooch, I still get so upset that we drafted Michael Porter Jr.
You gotta get over that, Wendell Carter Jr. instead of Michael Porter Jr.
Scott said he had a hot back, man.
He had a hot back, bro. He couldn't even walk up the fucking stairs,
bro. When you look at the Bulls and where we were then, it's like, look, just roll the dice on this nigga, bro.
Not with our training staff. No, you can't.
Bro,
you can't roll the dice with our training staff.
Hey, if he dies, he dies, nigga.
He'd have died, and we'd have been up into another wasted pick.
But she wasted it anyway.
I feel you. I'm not saying that Wendell Carter Jr. was a great pick. No, he was not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't lose sleep over that nigga. I just don't. Like, this nigga had the same surgery that Steve Kerr had. And he's like, what, 22, 23?
Yeah. But at the same time, I had a homegirl. She had that same surgery. She was like, it was non-invasive. The nigga went home the same day. He was okay.
Man, that nigga's like half an idiot too. So like, yeah.
That part we didn't miss out on. But no, he's been playing well off on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron Gordon, you know, really doing his thing. And I really, like you said, bro, the thing that's disappointing about the Trailblazers is because when you look at the roster, you feel like they have enough to at least make this an extremely competitive series, if not win it. But from what we've seen so far, G, is they just haven't been getting enough from the other contributors besides me. That just keeps biting them in the ass. And so, like, you mentioned it before, but if it's one person who might have to, you know, quote-unquote, betray their fans, it really is Dame.
Run from the grind, Dame.
Because ain't nobody coming to Portland. So
Damian, run from the grind, my guy. Run, please.
Yeah, go listen to that J. Cole, man. Run away. Go listen to Mary J. and Luda. Just run away. Like, just fuck it, man.
Run away, love. Run away, dog.
Shout out to Dame. I respect Dame for holding it down, though. I'm not going to lie, man. Dame is my favorite player in the league. I do respect what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, this is obviously from a fan point of view. Like, we want to see Dame hoist the trophy. We want to see him win. So, you know, it's not – I don't want to disrespect Dame and be like, yeah, you got to lead them niggas. You got to – nah, because do you. You know what I mean? Do what you feel right in your heart. And I think the Dame is, you know, one of those guys that's probably going to be – he's probably going to be one of those guys that finished with the team he started with, which is rare, you know, in today's league. Shout out to Dame. I respect.
I'm gonna hold out hope that he does. Hope somebody talks to him like somebody talked to KG. Remember, KG had the same thing. He didn't want to leave Minnesota.
Facts.
Chauncey Billups had to talk him out of leaving Minnesota. I hope somebody sit this nigga Dame down. It's not.
I hope Damian Lillard has one of those posts like the game does, where he's like, "Man, I walked past my son's crib and my son is 3 months old, and he was like, Dad, you gotta leave Portland to go get a championship.
I want to hear one of them
and
stories.
I was like, I hope he got one of those moments. Yeah,
I want to hear one of them stories. And if you
shout out to Dame, man.
If you want to leave, Oakland niggas love Chicago. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, come through. Dame's black Oakland, and red. You ain't got to change the shoe color.
Chicago, right.
You ain't got to change nothing about your business acumen, bro. It's black and red. It's the better black and red. You know, you ask me. You know,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, come through, man.
Let's move on to, we got two more series to go over to. Let's talk about Utah Jazz, Memphis Grizzlies. The first game of this series was a big win for the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks had a huge game. Ja Morant is that guy. You know, Ja's out here stepping it up.
Demetrius.
Ja's out here. He had 47 points and 7 assists in game 2. And actually, you know, Dylan Brooks had 23, Valachunas 18, Jaren Jackson at 16. It was a decent game. They gave up 141 points. It was terrible defensively. But, you know, when Donovan Mitchell came back, it started to look like a series that we thought it was going to be from the jump. One of those quick-ass series. I thought he was going to come out looking rusty. He was pretty fucking great. 25 points. He was 8 for 19 from the field. Mike Conley had a crazy game. 20 points, 15 assists. Gobert, 21 and 13. Royce O'Neal put in 14 and 8. And they just really, like, show, you know, Ingles had 14 off the bench. Clarkson 16-6. Want to give a shout out to Jordan Clarkson for winning the sixth man of the year. This was really special to me and Pav because we remember when he was with the Lakers and we used to call him, Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, the High Tribe because it's a club in West Hollywood that these niggas will always go to call High. So it's good to see the High Tribe all grown up. Julius Randle got most approved player. And now we see Jordan Clarkson with sixth man of the year. And I thought it was dope how they had Ingles present him with the award, too, on TNT. But my favorite quote from the series had to be Ja Morant's dad. They asked him, like, you know, did you say anything to your son after the game? He said, nah, I ain't say nothing to him. I told him, you know, if you'd have had 60, y'all would have won that damn game. And that's, like, peak black father shit. That absolutely. Like, and, you know, that's some shit I could definitely, you know, hear see me telling my son if he's in the league. But I think I do think it's going to be a little bit these games are going to be competitive. I do think that the Grizzlies are going to get one of these next two. I think they're at home. I think they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish in Utah. Also, young Dolphins performing at halftime in game three.
Booked the win. Nah, bro.
Grizzlies by 12,
nigga. Bro, listen, dog. Book the fucking win right now. Memphis is going to win that game. What? Are you fucking kidding me?
It's Dolph. You know, performing.
Dolph said he sold 100 pounds and gave 10% to the pastor. Nigga, stop playing. You crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be dope to see that. They got a nice crowd in Memphis. But I just love watching Ja hoop. Ja's awesome. You know, that 47-point game was great. But also, I'm starting to, you know, I got to give Utah credit. Donovan's out there hooping like he's a superstar. You know, coming off, he ain't played in, what, 5-6 weeks? He didn't look like he missed any time, man. And, you know, I think that's going to carry a lot. I really like how they've been defensively more than anything.
Yeah, no, I agree, bro. I think with the Grizzlies, they really showing me something that, like you've been saying, like we always say, the league is in good hands. This is a nice, young, up-and-coming team. You know, the Justice Winslow trade hasn't worked out like they would have liked. But I think overall, when you look at the young pieces they got, A lot of us expected them to get swept in this series, but they really showing you that, you know, they are a young, scrappy bunch. You know, you call bro Chico DeBarge, but he's really been hoping.
Dylan DeBarge?
Yeah. And Ja's everything, you know, as advertised and more. And so just to see his growth and seeing young players really show up in the playoffs, I like that because with them getting this playoff experience now, we know they're not going to win a ring. But just what is this season going to do for year 5, John Morant? You feel me? Like, well, he did this a couple times already. He really started getting a feel for it. And so I really like that. But like you said, the Jazz, we've been really discredited. I ain't going to say discrediting, but like just ignoring the fucking Jazz all year. But this is a solid squad, G. So with Donovan Mitchell back, like I said, he was pissed about being scratched from game one. And, you know, he kind of came out and showed you why. Like he felt like he could have really came out there and helped them win that game. But
yeah.
I agree. I also think Memphis will get one of these at home. Yeah. So I think Jazz and six.
I can agree with that. I do want to say the one thing about the Grizzlies as a franchise. That team with Tony Allen and Mike Conley and, you know, Gasol and Zach Randolph, I think that team is the reason why we have this young team fighting so hard because – that's the blueprint. Like, that's the mold. Like, they broke the mold when they made that team. And it's like, when you suit up for the Memphis Grizzlies, you have to live up to that right there. Like, obviously, that team didn't win a ring or whatever, but it's one of the highest regarded teams, you know, even, you know, rest in peace, Kobe. Kobe, talk about Tony Allen. You talk about any offensive threat in the league, talk about Tony Allen. You talk about Zach Randolph and that team. That Memphis team was a great team.
Grindhouse.
Absolutely. So it's like, I think that the reason why you get, you know, Ja and, you know, Brooks and just all these dudes, you know, is because of a team like that. Like they laid the foundation down for that. Ja makes it look too easy, man. You know, and that's how I judge great players is when I look at a player, if at any point in the game I look at you and say, I can do that, you a great motherfucker because like You making it look so easy that a motherfucker that working 9 to 5 just got off from a 12-hour shift, be looking at the gang like, wait a minute, I can't do some shit like that. Like, that look, this looks pretty easy. This looks pretty routine. He's doing this on people who get paid to stop him from scoring the ball. And he's doing this shit at a high rate. So another key thing too here is Rudy Gobert is the biggest cornball in the league.
Biggest cornball in the league.
And I don't know, maybe is this a function of me getting older? But the first thing I thought about when he flopped on the sideline was
terrible flop.
Son, you could have got hurt. Like, you could have fucking got hurt right there, dog.
They should have ejected that nigga.
Yeah, like, you really could have got hurt, dog. You already fouled out. You're a bozo. You're a bozo first. Then you fouled out. And you sat on the sideline. Dude touched your arm. And then you just fall down like, word, like, all right, cool. You don't deserve nice things, but your team is good. So y'all going to win the series. I would say Utah in 6 as well. Let Young Dolph suit up, man. Fuck, let Key Glock, Pooh Shiesty, Young Dolph, all them niggas shoot up. Fuck it, like, why not?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that one, man. You might as well get them niggas in there. Give you some other element to the game.
Fuck it.
But let's get to our last series, man. Suns, Lakers. I think, you know, me and Dante, we both said that the Lakers are gonna win this series in 6. And I think the unfortunate thing about the series, and yes, I'm about to say something positive about that State Farm agent. I think it's fucked up that every time Chris Paul gets a shot, he gets injured. Like, yeah. It happens all the time. You can just see this team is just not the same without him. It's just really that simple. Like, Devin Booker plays different when CP3 is not on that court giving 100%. Like, he's not, CP3's not shooting the same. Like, he's been sitting out long periods in the game. It's just a different game. And, you know, I will give credit to Aiden. Aiden's been having a great series. Mm-hmm. Anthony, this is the thing about Anthony Davis. And when I say Anthony Davis, one of the biggest hoe niggas in the league. It's just like he puts up no, but that nigga's soft. Gee, I'm sorry. That nigga just soft. I do not enjoy watching this nigga hoop. Like, he had 34-11. He had like 30-10 in game 2. He's playing this game, but just something about this nigga that's just
even soft. when he cried last year, I ain't really respected when he cried when he won the ring. I was like, that don't look like a real cry, bro. Yeah. Like, come on, you a hoe, man.
Like, he has real charter school energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I swear to God, look, I follow Chicago high school hoops. I swear to God, I didn't know who the fuck Anthony Davis was till he got to Kentucky.
Not a clue, G.
I didn't hear no niggas in the crib talking about Anthony Davis when he was in high school. And to top it all off, he a Packer fan. So off the strength, I can't fuck with a Chicago nigga who's a Packer fan. But if we look at this series, man, it's just I don't think that the Suns don't have enough without Chris Paul. Even with Chris Paul, I didn't feel they had enough. But without Chris Paul, I think this is going to be a very quick series. You know what I'm saying? I think the Lakers are just better in every aspect. LeBron hasn't even really turned it up, and he was making them niggas look silly. I mean, he was fucking posting up Jay Crowder, and you got Andre Drummond corny ass, and the rest of them niggas on the bench doing a little, I hate clowning you niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, he clowning you niggas. And now I feel like the Lakers know we got these niggas. Yep. And I expect game 4 to be a rout. I think they're going to beat the shit out of Phoenix.
Start to finish.
I think we go back to Phoenix for game 5. Phoenix ekes out a win. Then they come back to game for Staples for game 6 and it's grand opening, grand closing. I think it's real unfortunate because it's the first time that Phoenix has been in the playoffs in over a decade. They had a great regular season and they had to play the world champions because the world champions were injured. And, you know what I'm saying? They didn't get that, you know, easy series, you know what I'm saying? So it's disappointing for them, but you know,
hey man, like, it's always FUBU, man.
Yeah, I was about to say it's always FUBU, nigga. As far as Chris Paul, like, I'm not finna shed too many tears for that nigga. Like, you know, it just is what it is, man. I just don't like seeing Laker fans happy. So that's pretty what really kind of grinds my gear about this. But the Lakers, and it's the fucked up thing about, you know, the Clippers and the Nuggets trying to avoid them. I think the Lakers are gonna get better as the playoffs progress because then you're gonna see LeBron and AD, you know, get more rhythm, you know what I'm saying? And I think it's a toss-up AD because this nigga looks hurt every fucking time. Like, there was like 3 times in that game where I thought he tore his Achilles. So it's like, you know, you hope he stays healthy. But I think the Lakers are – I think the path for the Lakers in the West is starting to get real clear. You know what I'm saying? We see the Clippers playing funny. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe Utah might be able to give them some go. I'm not too sure. But I think the Lakers is going to get better and better, man. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Phoenix. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, I feel you, bro. I think the Lakers are gonna close it out in 5. Honestly, I think, especially with CP3 with the injury to his shoulder, I think it's just not going to be enough. You're going to have Crowder, you know, doing his little testy shit. I think this next game will get real chippy because, you know, when teams realize it's over, that's when they get desperate, start doing dumb shit. And so I think that you're going to see that. You're going to see that from the Suns because they know without Chris, they really don't have a shot to beat the Lakers. And like you said, it's really unfortunate because they did – you bust ass all season, Pauls, and, you know, to get the third seed only to be rewarded when you, now you got to play the champion.
Yeah.
Like – because, like, even, like, as great as Steph Curry is, I think they would have much rather play the Warriors than to play the Lakers. Just because, you know, it's less for you to have to stop. When you got to deal with LeBron and Anthony Davis and a collection of pieces who understand their roles and accept their roles. That's one thing about the Lakers. You'll never have too many niggas step out of bounds. Like, I know Kuz may dribble up and shoot the occasional dumbass three. But for the most part, like, everybody knows their role. They play their role. They don't step out of line. And so when you got a team like a championship team now with that type of discipline, it's fucked up that the number three seed had to play that in the first round. And so I think this series is over, bro.
I agree 100%. I think it's over in five. I think you can already kind of see it setting in with the Devin Booker flagrant foul on Schroeder. You know what I'm saying? You can kind of see it. It's like it's the frustration. And I don't think that Devin Booker's a dirty player. I don't want to put that on him, on his jacket.
AD was corny, facking like niggas got shot, though. There's no place in the game for that.
Like, come on, my niggas. Shut your ass up, my nigga. Like, for real. Snuffle off his face, nigga. But, nah, like, I can see it setting in. And, you know, even after the foul, you can see he was remorseful right away. He kind of knew, like, damn, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's over with, whatever. So, yeah, I get him five. The Phoenix team, you know, they had a hell of a season, man. They had a hell of a run. Chris Paul had a hell of a run. The last time they was this good, they had a nigga on their team who's now coaching the Nets. So, you know, it is what it is, man. It was a great run. Fun while it lasted. And, you know, it is what it is, bro. Five games. They'll be lucky to get to six.
That's the best way to describe this series, nigga. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
you just kind of – it's like, what did Tony Soprano say? What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But before we close out, man, I want to get your opinion on what you want the Bulls to do this offseason because we didn't get your opinion on that since the season ended. But what can be done about these fans wilding? As we see, you know, the racial slurs that's been coming from Utah. We saw the fans in Philly threw popcorn on Russ. We saw one of those New York Knicks fans trying to spit at Trae Young. Like, it's to the point where I don't really know what can be done. Like, yeah, you keep banning these niggas, but it's just like, what can be done to stop it?
They got to find them. Okay. They have to find these people because it's like, if you're coming into my – think about it like this, right? If you get into a fight on the street right now with somebody at somebody's establishment, you at a Starbucks, you get into a fight. If you damage some shit, you probably going to be held liable to like have to come out your pocket and pay for that shit in some type of way, shape, or form. If you go to these basketball games, these professional athletes, like it or not, are fucking investments, bro. Like, they're walking checks. They're the reason why a lot of shit is going on in your town because they play basketball at a high level and, you know, this team is generating money and things like that, so on and so forth. So when you start hitting them where it hurt, not just you can't come to the game. No, you have to pay a fine because we as NBA fans, as sports fans, period, we look at the NBA players and we count their pockets because it's like, oh, he got fined $10,000. That's nothing. That's $100 to a regular nigga. Cool. Let's make that kind of reverse where you got these fans. You want to dump popcorn. You want to spit. You want to do this type of shit. There should be levels to it, and you should get fined accordingly because when you hit people in the pockets where it hurt, you're more likely to get somebody, or should I say less likely to get somebody else to be like, you know what? I was just about to call homie a nigga. I think I'm going to relax because I ain't got enough to really pay for
that.
I ain't
got that 20,
right? Yeah, I ain't really got that. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it don't got to be nothing unreasonable, you know, no Dr. Evil shit or $1 billion. Like, it don't got to be that. but find them enough to where it's like, okay, if you can afford that seat right there, you can afford to pay 10 times the cost of that ticket if you do some bullshit at the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I think. Something like that.
I like that. Or they can start pressing charges on these niggas.
Absolutely.
We can do that too.
Oh. Yeah. Dante, it's fucking assault.
Take on this?
I mean, the obvious thing that needs to happen won't happen is that, and that's just let players start smacking the fuck out of people.
Right.
Like, and I said this, I had an interview with one of my homies, and I was like, you know, and not saying, you know, you got to be intimidated by people that are larger than you or anything like that. But at the end of the day, a lot of the shit that fans say, they would never step in front of that person and say it.
Oh,
like you were like, for example, with the shorty who was calling LeBron a bitch on the sideline, she was doing that because security was standing there. Like, if she was standing next to a 6'8", 245-pound black man, you're not going to sit here and say, you fucking bitch, I'm going to beat your ass.
Did you see that clip of when LeBron was in Cleveland and the lady was like, stop crying. He looked back. That bitch.
She turned around and was like,
yeah.
Bro, you know, it's plenty of clips like that, bro, where people would be talking and then the athlete turned to him and then they just, I'm just playing, bro.
I was just trying to get a frosty.
White dudes do that all the fucking time, bro. Do that shit all the time. They'll be sitting there talking crazy and shit. The athlete turn around, I'm just playing, bro.
It's just a game, bro.
It's just popcorn. Like, nah, bitch. If I'm walking on the street, you throw some popcorn on me, we finna fucking fight. What you mean? Yep. And that's crazy.
Yeah, that's why I like Russ energy. Like, remember Russ? It was like 2 years ago, and it was he said, "I beat your ass, you and your wife. On everything I love, I'll fuck you up."
Facts.
You got to
come with that type of energy, man. Like, yeah, simple as that.
So stop wilding. But I will say, I'm not shocked it was Philly fans. Some of the worst fans in sports.
Them niggas clapped.
See, them niggas clapped when Michael Irvin's career ended. Like, that's one of the worst.
Bro, there's a picture. There's a picture that, you know, these bum ass niggas tried to clean up when Victor Cruz hurt his knee, right, which effectively ended his career with just in the league period. You know, he tried to come back, he just wasn't the same. There's a picture where like one of the dudes in the end zone is celebrating this Victor Cruz. It's in Philly. The game is in Philly. You can go see this shit. I'm not making this up. You know, you can go look at the newspaper, all that. He's celebrating while Victor Cruz is on the ground, like clearly holding his knee, like he's fucked up. He's not terrible. You know what I mean? Like, and they're like, it's a dude in the corner, and it's like, come on, my nigga, you know what's going on. You can clearly see this dude is on the ground holding his knee, and you just like, you happy? Like, yeah, fuck them niggas.
Let's, you know, be good fans. Let's just not cross the line, man. Before we wrap up, I want to get your opinion, bro. The Bulls ended their season. What do you expect from this team in all season? What do you want to see? And do you like, what's the when next season ends, and what's your expectation? Like, if this doesn't happen, I'll be disappointed. So what are you expecting from AK in his second offseason coming up?
I'm fully expecting for this roster to look completely different next season. I'm expecting us to be aggressive in trying to get Lonzo Ball. I think that, you know, maybe the Pelicans might have been asking for too much. I'm not privy to what they were looking for or whatever. But I just think AK wasn't in a position to be like, you know what, I'm going to just do something for the sake of doing it, just to get a name in the building. So I think he made a great trade getting Vucevic in the building. Shout out to that. That was, you know, easily the best move that we've had in fucking like 20 years probably. But what I really want, I want to see Garrett Temple back. I do. I think he was a good vet for the guys. He has some clutch moments for us, you know, some good minutes out there. He can still teach, you know, do a lot of that. I just want to see us just get better, man. I just want to see us get better. Don't make a move just for the sake of making a move. Yeah. And I think that by the end of next season, if we are not firmly a playoff team, if we're not firmly a 6 or 7 seed or something like that, like,
I'm going higher. I would see top 5, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. But, like, if we're not firmly, like, oh, if this team win that,
I don't want to be in the play-in next year.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the play-in. Like, we have to be – if we're in a position where if another team wins a game, we fall to 6, then cool, fuck it. You know, like, it is what it is. Shit happen. Injuries happen or, you know, whatever. Rest happens, whatever. But I want us to be at least – you know, I'm tempering my expectations here, at least like a top 6 seed.
Yeah.
We have to be firmly in the playoffs, though. I don't want to be just barely, you know, squeaked in and we had to win the last 7 out of 8 games to win. Nah, like, no. If we don't securely, you know, if we can't rest Zach for 5 games down the stretch because we already booked the playoff spot, I'll be thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah, because 4 through 6 are up for grabs, man. Like, even next year, like, we're only going to be talking about that top 3, Milwaukee, Philly, and Brooklyn again.
Absolutely.
That's only – everything else is up for grabs. So I need to see that, bro. I feel like this team gets defense, and we need some wings who can shoot, guys who can defend, get rid of all the fucking Garpack stench.
Yeah, we got to trim the fat, man. We got to trim the fat off the roster. Got to. Yeah.
But I will say this trade deadline proved to me, and I think proved to Bulls fans in general – that AK and them ain't for no games. And I think Bulls fans need to stop hanging on to every word that AK says. Remember, I think people are freaking out at him. I'm saying, well, you know, we still value Laurie. These same niggas who said we still value things that Boylan brings, and they fired that nigga. Like, stop hanging on to AK.
You got to remember, the reason why he has to say we value Laurie is so that other teams can see value in him. Exactly. It's not that we're going to keep him.
The league don't want to fuck up your signing trade. You know
the league needs to know that we see value in this player, because if they know that we're just cutting bait with him no matter what, we're going to get lowballed, because they're going to say you don't like him. But if you say we see value in him, you trick other teams into being like, wait a minute, let's offer him this and let's see what's up. Like,
yeah, I think the Bulls are going to be major players this offseason. So I'm looking for, whether we get the top four pick or not, I think we're going to be major players. So I'm looking forward to it, man. But as usual, man, it's always great to have you on here, G. Love talking hoops with you, bro. Let them know where they can find you on Instagram and Twitter. Tell them about your podcast, man. How many y'all got a couple episodes out right now, man. Y'all been doing y'all thing. I've seen real consistent with the drops.
Absolutely, man. You know, on Twitter is Mariano, you know, like you said, top of the show, two N's, two O's. On Instagram, you know, I'm professional, my shit up, man. You know, it's Mariano Bivens. You know, it's my IG handle. Rap Names Podcast is our newest shit. You know, if anybody that know me, you know, I've been around for, you know, been around for a minute. You know what I mean? We've been doing this podcast shit for a minute. This is just our latest venture. Me and my man, Jerv. Shout out to Jerv. Shout out to Philly. And we about 13 episodes in, 14 really. We just recorded one earlier this evening. My man Poob, shout out to Poob from D Block. Yeah, man, you know, tap in with us, man. We drop every Sunday. You can check us out on the BOMM feed. You know, if you're a fan of the show and all that, you know, check us out on the OG feed and all that, man. You know, that's really it.
Definitely, man. Fuck with them. You know where to follow me and Dante, man, at October's on Tay, at Barbershare Scott on Twitter and Instagram. Follow the brand, the Barbershare Network, at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. I got an announcement real soon, man. I cannot wait to announce to y'all what I got coming. You know what I'm saying? Mariano, I'm going to tell you when we get off here. It's gonna be awesome. I can't wait for this shit. So I'm looking forward to y'all here for that. We'll be back next week with a new episode, man. We'll be hopefully most of the first round will be over. Keep tuning in for our Twitter pregame playoff spaces, man. We're gonna be doing that through the weekdays. So tap in with us back on Monday. We've been getting, you know, a lot of people been checking in with us, so keep doing that. New podcast. Shout out to the homie Cat, man. You can follow her on Twitter at Cat Vision. She has a new podcast. Check out. I'm on episode one, so look out for that. And we just got a lot more shit coming with the Barbershare Net, man. So we appreciate all y'all for y'all constant support. And enjoy the playoffs this weekend. And we'll be back next week. We out.